That was awesome. Man, touched my heart. And we're honored to be able to support the Crabtree family that does help plant deaf churches. And at times we've had the opportunity to minister to people in our congregation. And good, very good presentation. Appreciate that, Miss Audra, very much. Do want to just ask you as we take up the offering this morning that this will be an offering for the school. Our school is, of course, a nonprofit organization, just like the church is. The school does not pay for utilities for the building. They don't make building payments. The church handles all of that, and that's our part of having a ministry. We want to be givers and not takers. Amen? And so the school, basically, all the funds that come in from the tuition goes to help pay our teachers. I mean, that's basically it. A few other little things, but all goes back into the school. So this morning, whatever's loose in the offering plate will go towards the school. Myself and my wife have actually put on our offering envelope a little extra for the school. So you can put it on your offering envelope today, this morning or tonight, and just put underneath special, put HCA there, and give a little something. And again, just a part of us being a part of this ministry, just like we're a part of Master Clubs and the youth ministry and other ministries in our church. And it's all about reaching people for Jesus, teaching them, discipling them. And this goes along with our kids as well. I do appreciate our teachers. Appreciate Brother Scott and Ms. Tramar. They make a great team, and they're doing a fantastic job. And we're so thankful to have them be a part of this ministry. Ushers, if you'll make your way forward, we'll take up the offering this morning. I do want to, if you've attended our church very long, you know that we don't talk about the school every Sunday. It doesn't happen on purpose. And I want you to know that HCA is an important part of this ministry. And we're going to continue to go forward in it, whether I have a kid in it or not. And just being a part of the process of educating children every day of the week. And just being a part of that. And what a blessing as a church for us to do that. Influence these kids for future generations. I believe there's a place for the public school. I know we have public school teachers here in the auditorium. There's a place for that. I do believe as time goes on, we may see that cease to be an avenue which the pastor can get up and say, hey, that's still okay. It's getting there, and we got to be close. Yeah. Amen. You'd have to say amen. Even you, it's if something doesn't change, there'll come a day at which the pastor had to get up and say, listen, you just cannot send your kids to public school. But we're thankful we have some good school districts here, some good conservative school districts in our area. We pray they'll stay that way. By the way, let's be actively involved in that and make sure they stay good school districts. The Northwest School District, Keller, Saginaw, these areas that we participate in. Homeschoolers, we have several homeschoolers in our congregation. We're thankful for that avenue as well, and we want to help you. In fact, we're still working on, and we'll continue to work on, a way in which homeschoolers can participate in our school. We want that, and for them not only to participate in the academics, but also the fine arts, as well as sports. And then again, thirdly, those who participate and be a part of the public school, of the Christian school. And we appreciate that. We try very hard in our church, as far as with our youth department, not to distinguish and not to make, these are the public school kids, here are the Christian school kids, and here's the homeschool kids. No, we're all church family. And parents, however you choose. But we would encourage you, of course, if God would lead that way, to be a part of the Christian school. I said that all correct? Everybody good? Amen. And I'm thankful for the school. Remember our missionaries of the week, Brother Adam McGeorge there in Nauru? And that would be an awesome place to go. We're praying for them, and they're fixing to take their furlough, and they'll be with us this summer, and we're looking forward to seeing them again. And then Brother J.J. Lusk there in Rockville, Maryland, a church planter, and God has blessed them with a building. I'm telling you guys, God did a miracle for them in Maryland, and God's still in the miracle business when it comes to buildings, finding buildings, and so forth. So let's be in prayer for these. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love and your blessings upon us. God, we pray that you'd be with Brother Lusk. We pray that you'd be with Brother McGeorge and provide for their needs. We pray for the Christian school, God, that you continue to bless Brother Scott and Ms. Tramar as they continue to lead in that endeavor. And what a blessing, and we appreciate them so very much. We ask that you would be with this offering, that you'd use it to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts 11 verse 26. I hope that you'd quit looking at your watch. I'm going to let you out on time. Acts chapter 11 verse 26. I know I talk too much and I get on my own nerves sometimes, but I can't just delve into the message without talking about the community event that happened Friday and Saturday. And I just love our town. I just appreciate small town and America. And if you had an opportunity to go out and be a part of the Wild West Fest on Friday evening as well as Saturday all day, what a blessing. And I think if you don't have it on your schedule every year, you ought to. And I appreciate many of you who live outside of Hassett who are members of our congregation. Saw many of you there on Friday night especially. And it's just a great event. I thought last night was very wholesome, kid-friendly, just good entertainment. And some people almost got killed. It's awesome. Bull riding event. And I thought Leland there for a minute was going to have to tackle the bull that came out there. He was trying to protect Miss Rita. Well, no, he would kind of put Miss Rita in front of him. Yeah. Using Miss Rita as the cushion between him and the bull. And Brother Jerry England had a little foray with one as well. But it was just a good event. And I bore myself talking, but just encourage you. What a blessing to be a part of the Hassett community and to pastor here. What a blessing to pastor this congregation. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." And here's just the little phrase I want you to see this morning. "And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? When Paul stood before King Agrippa and gave his testimony, and King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Well, can I tell you, almost will not avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter well. Almost but lost. Listen, what does it mean this morning to be a Christian? Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to meet together in your house. I pray this morning as we gather around your word that, God, that you would have your will and way. We praise you for these kids and what they've done this morning. We know the word of God will not return void. And we just pray this morning there's someone here who does not know you as Savior that might get saved today. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be genuine Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it does not mean that to be born American does not make you a Christian. To be born an American, your American heritage does not automatically make you a Christian. We know that America now, statistically speaking, is made up of 15% who claim to be atheists. And Obama has announced that, you know, America is no longer a Christian nation. He's wrong, but he announced it. Amen. And listen, we live in a Christian nation, but it does not make you a Christian. And it certainly does not make me a Christian. I was born into a Christian family. I'm thankful for that. My great-grandfather was a Baptist and a Christian. My pawpaw, this is all on my dad's side, were Christians. And I'm thankful. I had a great influence. But just because I was born into a Christian family does not make me a Christian. We are not saved through hereditary. We're not saved by being born into a Christian family. Being baptized or being a part of a church does not make you a Christian. Being part of a certain denomination, whether it be Baptist or Presbyterian or whatever it may be, does not make you a Christian. Does not make you a Christian. Being a Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like. It means a follower of Christ, a Christ follower. One who mimics or imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. To be a Christian, one must be born again. That's what Jesus said. In other words, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior is one in which who is saved. John 3:3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him," talking about Nicodemus, "he said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In order for a person to be a Christian, they must be born again. I was born of my mother, March 4th, 1974. But I was born of the Spirit, March 12th, 1980. At the age of 6 years old, I knelt in my pastor's office and received Christ as my personal Savior. The greatest day of my life. The greatest day of my life. second only to being married to my lovely wife that sits down front here. I'd have her stand, but we'd embarrass her. Being saved, being born again. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means to be born again. First, you have to be born again to be a Christian. You have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How are we born again? How do we get saved? We must first off recognize that we are sinners. Listen, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I remind you that sin is simply selfishness? Sin is simply selfishness. Jesus Christ summarized sin himself, the law, when he said, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is all the law and the prophets. And then John tells us, and John, he says that sin is a transgression of the law. All right, so Jesus Christ summarized the law for us. He said, basically, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. When we don't treat others as we would want to be treated, that is breaking the law. And John tells us that breaking the law is sin. That sin is a transgression of the law. Simply this, can you love everyone in the world as you love yourself all the time? The answer is no. No one can love everyone in the world as they love themselves all the time. Maybe some of the time. But there'll come a day, and there already has in your life, there's no doubt, in which someone will irritate you. Someone will say something bad against you. Someone will, rise up against you, whatever, and you will lash out, or you will have ill will towards them or ill feelings towards them. Of course you will, because we can't love everyone as we love ourselves all the time. Listen, this morning, we are all sinners. And yes, you say, well, I have never killed anybody. And, the kids did a good job of quoting the commandments earlier. I've never stolen from anybody. Well, that doesn't mean you're not a sinner. There are good moral people that are going to die and go to hell. There are good, upstanding, moral individuals who are going to die and go to hell. Because being a good, moral person doesn't get you to heaven. Being a good, moral person doesn't get you born again. It's simply, again, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection. You see, Jesus Christ went to the cross, and there He died for you. And there He died for me. He died for my sin. He died for the penalty of my sin. See, God made it very clear that the wages of sin is death. The penalty for me being selfish by nature, the penalty for me being selfish in disposition is death. Revelation describes that death for us. It says in Revelation chapter 20, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, there's a physical death. The Bible says it's appointed in man once to die. Right? We're all headed that way. Right? All of us can feel it just a little bit as you get older. Just a little bit, especially some of those yesterday running around in that. Man. Anyway, yeah, you feel it. You know we're all headed that way. It's appointed in man once to die. After this, the judgment. Understand the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That we receive eternal life, that we are born again by way of the Savior, Jesus Christ. But not just by Him, but what He did. What He did in that He came, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. See, He wasn't a sinner. He had no sin of His own. He was sinless in the disposition. That means He was sinless in His nature. Never one time did Jesus Christ have a sinful thought. Imagine that. Never one time did Jesus Christ perform a sinful deed. Never one time did He have a sinful desire. He was completely selfless. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. And yet, they took Him there to the cross. And there, Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. There, Jesus Christ was raised up there on the cross. And His hands were pierced and His feet were pierced. And there, Jesus Christ died for me. There, Jesus Christ shed His blood for me in that He took my place on the cross. He died for my sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Isaiah says that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, we are made righteous in Him. We are made right before God by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are made, listen to this close now, we are made sinless before God by placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying we don't still sin, but before God, our legal standing is sinless because we are in Christ. Our sinful record is erased. That sinful record is erased, and Christ's sinless record is put in its place. It's the doctrine of justification. I'm glad I'm justified, aren't you? I'm glad when I got saved, it was just as if I had never sinned. Man, that's awesome. My sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And that's just pretty far. We have to get some of the kids back in here to figure that up, calculate it. It's going to take a big computer to do that. It's immeasurable. There's no ending. I'm so thankful for the love of God. And that God's love is unconditional. And that He loved me so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, doesn't say whoever attends church or whoever is a good moral person or whoever joins the Baptist church or whoever joins the Assembly of God church or whoever enters the baptistry. No, it says whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is found by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Upon salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that now abides in me. Amen. That enables me and empowers me to become that peculiar people that the Bible speaks of there in 1 Peter when it says we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live the life that Christ intended us to live. We think about Heritage Christian Academy and we endeavor to lead every child to Christ. We want to be called alongside to help the parent in ministering to that child. Number two, I think about Christians. How is one to be a Christian? We're to be a Christian as one who reads his Bible. A Christian is one who reads their Bible. A Christian, we advertise to the world about Jesus Christ. We're to be a testimony. The Bible's to be our roadmap, not some self-help book, but the Bible's to be our standard. It is to be the map of our entire life, how we deal with our children, how we deal with our marriage, how we deal with our finances, that the Bible is our roadmap. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to the Word of God. It is through the Word of God that we're able, again, to live out the Christian life, to live as Jesus would live. The very first primaries and school textbooks were based upon the Bible in America. And you can still purchase those through Wall Builders there in Aledo. You can actually purchase one of those first primers. And it had the Bible all throughout it. Many of the first people who came to America learned to read by reading their Bible. The Bible was foundational in the establishment of our government. And we must hold the banner high. And at Heritage Christian Academy, we hold the Word of God high, as the public schools did in the early days. And we want to keep on the same path. To be a Christian, one must tell others of Jesus. Not just to be a testimony, but verbally tell others about Jesus. There are some who believe in a lifestyle evangelism. That we don't have to confront anyone. We just simply live it and people will come to Jesus. Well, I agree partially in that we should live it in order for people to come to Jesus. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, yes, we should live it, but that we should confront those who are not Christians, that we should witness to those who are not Christians and do so verbally with our own mouths or with a tract. In other words, people are not just going to get saved by watching your life. You have to tell them. You have to tell them of Jesus. You have to tell them what Christ did for you in your life and give them your testimony. And yes, if you're your witness will not be effective unless your lifestyle backs it up. Amen. If your lifestyle don't back it up, you can't be an effective witness. But simply to live a Christian life and never witness to anyone is truly not being a Christian. Jesus confronted and Jesus told others. And Jesus was a soul winner. In fact, He went out of His way to be a soul winner. One day He met a lady by the well. And He told the Samaritan lady of Himself and led her to Himself. Gave her the gospel. He went out of His way. And I don't have time to develop the message there, but He went out of His way to be and to teach the gospel to those. By the way, the gospel is the good news. In any day and age, the world needs good news. It needs it today. Man, we come so depressed watching news on TV. Everyone needs the good news of Jesus Christ. There is still hope. We need to evangelize. And that, again, at Heritage Christian School, we seek to help our kids know how to tell others of their faith. How are we to be a Christian? A Christian is one who loves and fears the Lord. Job 28, verse 28 says, "And the fear of the Lord is the wisdom, and to depart from it, from evil, is understanding." That we need to come to Christ, of course, but understand as Christians that we need to love the Lord and we need to fear Him. In fact, Solomon said at the end of his life, towards the end of his life, to fear God and keep His commandments for the whole process of life. We need to teach that to our kids. As adults, we need that. Do you have a reverential fear for the Lord? Do you? I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was tremendous, and I talk about him a lot. I feared my dad growing up. I didn't fear him like this. I didn't fear that. He never in any way struck me or beat me or anything like that to make me fear him in such a way of being hit. But I did fear him reverentially. I feared him. I feared him. I respected him. Do you fear the Lord this morning? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We need to send that message and spread that message to our kids. A Christian is one who strives to live a Christian life, a Christ-lived life. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." A Christian is one who imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you this morning an imitator of Jesus Christ? If you were put before a jury and they tried to try you for being a Christian, could they bring enough evidence to the courtroom to convict you of being a Christian? Are you an imitator of Jesus Christ? A Christian is one who imitates Jesus Christ. A Christian is one who gives his or her life to the Lord. In other words, our life is not ours. I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, as the kid said this morning, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That our lives are not our own. As a Christian, we give our lives to the Lord. A Christian strives to do all to the glory of God. I love that verse. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That we do everything to His glory. A Christian, lastly, is one who has a heart for God. In other words, it's not just one who loves the Lord and says they love the Lord, but someone who loves the Lord and shows it. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And therefore, as Christians, we ought to be, yes, loving God, but we ought to be growing in the Lord, as our purpose is as a church stated. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you in your Christian life further along today than you were, you know, a year ago? Can you see growth in your Christian life? And we ought to endeavor as Christians to be more like Jesus, to grow in our Christian life. Well, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Why? Why did they call them Christians? Because they were Christ followers. Because they were imitators of Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the beginning point. That's the start. And then, Christian, do you live your life as an imitator of Him? Are you a victorious Christian? Understanding the Holy Spirit will empower you and enable you to live out the Christian life. I know I say this phrase a lot, but understand that life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. As a Christian, Jesus Christ came to give us life. He came to give us salvation. He came to give us forgiveness of sins that we might escape hell and have a home in heaven. But He also said He came to give us life more, what? Abundantly. Are you in your life experiencing an abundant life? Are you in your life experiencing joy? If not, come to Jesus. And say, "Lord, I'm not experiencing the joy I should have as a Christian. Lord, strengthen me. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden's light." Listen, the world's load is hard to bear, but come to Jesus and His burden is light. Let's all stand. Hymn 157, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. All to Him I owe. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we encourage you. I beseech you, Paul said, just step out of your chair. Come forward. An adult here will show you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven and how you can have everlasting life. Christian, this morning, are you an imitator of Jesus? after we pray, we'll sing 157. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we again have to kneel before you, to humble ourselves before you. Lord, help us to be imitators of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we pray this morning that there's someone here who does not know you as personal Savior, they might accept you today. Lord, help us to instill in our children these simple proofs that we are truly Christians. Help us again, Lord, to walk in your steps, to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 157, Jesus paid it all.